This podcast is brought to you by XNWX Satellite Weather.
Hi, this is Mark Cook. We're reporting from AirVenture 2008. We're starting to wind down the week a little bit. One of the topics is 51% discussion. We've been going back and forth on that all week. I'm standing in the beautiful sunshine this morning with Joe Bartels, president of Lancair. And he was a participant in our Monday afternoon meeting with the FAA. I shouldn't say meeting. It was an open seminar. We had quite a crowd there, and we had a lot of builders expressing their opinion on where the rules are going. Joe, obviously you were a big part of that meeting and had a big discussion in that. Why don't you give us a little your perspective on what happened on that Monday meeting?
Mark, thanks for interviewing me, of course, and pleasure being here. It is a beautiful, sunshiny day. Thankfully, we've had nothing but good days here. The Monday meeting was not much of a surprise. It was an initial introduction by the FAA to the general public as to what they thought the 51% rule should be. Mr. Hickey of the FAA said that he was a firm supporter of the 51%, and I believe he is. However, Mr. Hickey has had an opportunity now to look over what the general public wants in the form of some of the comments that hit his desk, and I'm pretty sure he knows that people want more built rather than less. However, he's got a policy in mind to try to bring us back to the 50s, and I think that's going to be difficult for him to really maintain. I hope it is. I certainly would not have built a kit other than as Lancair had provided it back when I bought mine in 1992. Mr. Hickey has attempted to moderate, if you will, some of the hardships of the 51% rule by instead of insisting on 51% of the kit being fabricated and 51% of the kit being assembled, it's more like about 20% of the whole kit has to be fabricated by the individual. We certainly can at Lancair achieve those figures, but truthfully, the better way to proceed with this would be to have a more common sense definition of fabrication. Currently, the definition is to build from parts. That is to say, that's what we've been doing for the last 25 to 30 years. Mr. Hickey has indicated that it should possibly be more to build from raw goods. The implications of such a policy would be, let's make it as ridiculous as possible, going to Jamaica, taking on a load of bauxite and bringing it somewhere and having it produced into aluminum. Nobody is going to do anything like that. They're not going to buy a roll of aluminum anymore and just stamp out parts on their own and beat it around a wood block and then send it out for heat treatment. We're a modern society that looks for things to go together quickly. We have an internet now. We're not even interested in getting off our rear ends to jump in a car and drive to the supermarket. You know, we're going to go ahead and send in our order by email and hope somebody will deliver it later on in the day. So it's the same for the general aviation public. They want as much done as they can, and with good reason. Any product that we have that comes in the form of a kit is certainly something that the individual can build, including our new Evolution. But how much better does the individual who does not do this every day feel when he has competent help and guidance as provided by the manufacturer?
Well, and that, let me interrupt you here, because that's really one of the issues is this commercial assistance idea. And one of the things that struck me, and I'll lead the witness here a little bit, is the issue of commercial assistance vis-a-vis commercial educational assistance and the educational aspects of that. Where do you think we need to go with this?
Boy, that's a good question, because commercial assistance was never truly allowed to an extent that it would exceed 51%. That is, leaving with the individual with less than 51%. So I can't say that there's any major change in the understanding of the rule. I think there's a major change, though, in the way the FAA will approach this. I think the FAA is going to decide to start prosecuting those that go outside, that help to conspire to break the law or to conspire to execute an affidavit, which is now going to require information about whether the individual had commercial assistance or not. The way around all of this is a more common sense approach. For instance, In the last 25 to 30 years, both Vans and Landseer have produced kits which included very many prefabricated parts. It's not like you can say the FAA has been unaware of this, because each of our kits, that is Vans and Landseer, were submitted to the FAA. They came out, and we're not talking about a FISDO, we're talking about a MIDO. And that group came out and saw the parts that were produced, and they laid them all out, and they looked at the kit, and they said, good. So they saw our fabrication techniques for as long as 25 years ago, at least as far as Landseer is concerned. So I'm kind of like totally shocked that the FAA would now all of a sudden, after allowing these many industries to come about, say to us, we were complicit in putting these or allowing these kits to come about, but we're going to put a stop to this. We're going to bring this back 50 years. It's hard to close the barn door after the horse escapes. So to my way of thinking, what the FAA and what industry has to do is agree upon perhaps a more common sense approach to, number one, fabrication. What does fabrication mean? The dictionary says to build from parts. If we went along that, if we used that definition, I'm sure that we'd all get along quite well, and we really wouldn't care how much the percentage of fabrication might be. So I think when this matter is finished sometime in September, and hopefully we'll have further meetings with the FAA before the final rule is published in the Federal Register, as accepted by all, I hope we'll all come away with a better understanding of general aviation, amateur-built rules, and perhaps even further agree that there should be a different rule for those who want a custom-built aircraft. Even though the FAA can change policy, even though it can institute policy, new policy, for something like this rule, it's better for us all to start talking to our legislators. Now, I know there's these guys in the field right now that would like to see us still make tube and rag aircraft, but that's not enough of us. More of us want the kits. They want the security of something that has been engineered ad nauseum, as has the evolution. They want to be as safe as any general aviation certified aircraft can be. We want that as well.
Well, it's certainly an admirable goal, and my understanding is the FAA has heard the industry and heard the consumers at least loud and clear. It remains to be seen where we go with this.
I expect that the FAA will still lean more to a constrictive position than we would like. It's my job and other members of our industry's jobs to go to the FAA, and if the FAA doesn't respond as I believe it should, but then again, within the bounds of what the original intent of the law is, by the way, that's very important. This is not a law. This is a regulation. It's much different in approach. But Congress can suggest to the FAA that it wants to see a custom-built category. And then the FAA will take that as strong guidance to go forward and perhaps decide to start a rulemaking committee. We can only hope, though, that it's not another 10-year process like the LSAs. We can't afford that. We don't want to see that. We want the FAA to act and act now to give us some greater allowance. Perhaps, if we can, and someone can do an extra 10 or 20% of building for the consumer. Well, the consumer does not have the right to the builder's certificate, which therein allows him to do his own maintenance on a plane. I think it's a lot better for us to exercise and use the tremendous wealth of A&Ps that are out there. And certainly if an individual is so talented to build his plane 100%, he'll know as well how best to take care of that that airplane.
Well, it'll be an interesting future and an interesting couple of months as we get into to the end of September and see what happens. I appreciate your thoughts today, Joe, and hope you have a good rest of the show. This is Mark Cook reporting for Kit Planes and AvWeb at AirVenture 2008.
XMWX satellite weather has quickly become the leading way to fly for pilots across the country. And now with updates to the Aviator Data Package and Aviator Pro, the brand new weather data package from XMWX, pilots have an even better reason to fly with the Data Link weather leader in flight and every flight.